Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Hello, Ray.
Hi there. I'm terrible. I'm sorry about my voice.
Ray has been replaced by
a squeaking and oil and unoiled squeaky wheel, I think. Unfortunately, it's the season, I think.
It is, unfortunately. Ray's just starting it early. She had to get ahead of everybody
starting
else.
Early. I'm getting in my viruses over before winter.
Well, you'd think that, you know, it'd be good for reading then.
Yeah.
No gardening, you can do plenty of reading, right?
Oh,
you can
I
catch
have
up
been.
On all your
I
book
have
reviews.
Been, actually. I can indeed. So what have you been reading?
Well, as you can see, I don't actually have the physical book with me because unfortunately I had to return it to the library.
Oh.
Somebody else wanted it.
Dear.
Oh, dear. But this month I reviewed Plant Parenting for Busy People by Dr. Nora Mutalima.
Oh, Plant Parenting.
Yeah, Plant Parenting for Busy People. Somewhat of a follow-on from my last month's stated goal of not buying any more houseplants.
Oh, so you're going to start parenting.
So the plan was to, like, the plan with reading this particular book was to help me look after the plants I have already, some of which are super easy care and some of which are a bit fussier. And it's basically, it's one thing to fill your house full of gorgeous plants. I mean, many of us who went through the houseplant craze during COVID times know this.
Yes.
Got a bit carried away, but it's quite another to keep them happy and flourishing for weeks, months, years.
Well, when you get another new baby in the house as well.
Yeah.
It takes more of your time.
It does.
Yes. Amy got a new puppy, so.
Oh, yes.
Not a baby, but a puppy, a fur baby.
Yes, a fur baby. She is now, as of recording this, 9 months old, and she's very much in her toddler era.
Yes, plants have got to survive.
They do, and not be too tasty for the dogs. But Nora has put together this science-driven guide to creating your own indoor jungle and keeping it thriving with, and this was the bit I liked, minimal effort.
Oh, I don't believe that. But
yeah, well, we'll see.
See if it works.
We'll see. So it's broken down into 7 chapters, the green beginnings, essentials of plant parenthood, selecting your green companions, beyond soil, plant care challenges, green thumbs up, and bringing the outside in.
Oh,
and then it
right.
wraps up with some final thoughts on, like, yeah, make sure you've got confidence in growing your plants, basically.
Yep.
So the starting is, it goes through the foundations of indoor gardening. Much like any good gardening book, understanding of space, choosing the right plants for the space. And then it does this cute little foray into plant parent profiles and also plant personalities, which I thought was cute. Basically, they've got these plant parent profiles and it breaks down into things like the rescuer, the scientist, the decorator, the minimalist, the nurturer. I think I'm a rescuer because I'm drawn to plants that need a bit of a second chance. So I have a tendency to end up with plants that are already struggling and just look a bit the whole time.
Yes. So you've got to learn the tender, loving care that they need.
And then in conjunction with the plant parent profiles, you've got the plant personalities. And this is things like the independent introverts, like ZZ plants or Sansevierias, the tough lover, the social butterfly, the drama queen, the thrill seeker. And that, I mean, it's cutesy, but it also gives you examples of plants and plant care approaches for them and things to watch out for with these types of plants. So like Calatheas, for instance, I know I'm no good with Calatheas. They're too dramatic for me.
Yeah.
I don't have space. I don't have time for that drama.
No, I like the ones that, like Sansevierias that
are
stolid and hardy workers and don't complain too much if I forget them for a week or two.
Or a couple of months.
Yes. Yes.
And then chapter 2 goes through the essentials of plant parenthood. So what plants need to grow, light, water, food, that kind of thing. And it actually is really good. It's got some suggestions for putting together a routine that works for you as a busy person. So it might say every week, spend 10 minutes on XYZ.
Yes.
So it sort of quantifies.
Yeah.
So it lays it out in a really easy to follow way.
And surely that will depend on how many plants you are trying
absolutely.
To look after.
Mm. Absolutely. Chapter 3, which is selecting your green companions. This has a large number of plants to choose from, basically. It just kind of goes through a bit of an index of plants, so categorised by things like lighting conditions, room types, maintenance levels. So if you want plants for a bathroom, for instance, or you want plants for a low-lighting workroom, it sort of groups a few together in those kind of spaces.
Yeah, well, that's good to know because it's the one thing that you can't change.
No, absolutely. And some plants are more forgiving of it, but some really are not.
Yes, and you've watched them sort of wilt and die.
It doesn't matter
sad.
What you do.
Yeah.
And then chapter four, this is called Beyond Soil, and this is probably one of the big standout chapters. So this explores the use of LECA for indoor gardening. So LECA stands for Lightweight Expanded Clay Aggregate. It's those little balls.
Yes.
The clay balls. Yes. And it's used for keeping moisture levels stable without relying on remembering to water every week. So the idea is you take some of the ongoing maintenance away by using LECA. Keeps the plant roots moist but also aerated, which is another problem with potting mix, is that it can
clump down, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you don't get your watering right with potting mix, you either drown it and then the plant can't breathe because it's not getting any air through
its roots,
or it dries out so badly it becomes watertight in a way.
The water just runs straight through it.
Exactly.
Doesn't saturate the soil. Yeah.
So this chapter runs through how to use it, some good starter plants for it.
Oh, that sounds quite good then, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it suggests using things like Hoyas and Monsteras because both of them grow really well in LECA. And then it's got some tutorials in it as well on how to set up some growing in LECA. So I thought this was really good. Now, I don't actually really use LECA. I think I've got maybe two begonias and something else in LECA at the moment.
And you're happy with the progress?
Yeah, they're perfectly happy. They're a bit more fussy, shall we say.
Yes.
And they've done pretty well. So I think I might be moving a few more in the coming months.
That way.
And then chapter five does plant care challenges, so like environmental problems. For instance, if your leaves are looking scorched, what's going on? Or pests and diseases, so thrips, scale, mealy bug, spider mites. It's actually got a really good multi-week approach to dealing with them. Like, it doesn't just say, oh, you need to spray. It goes, okay, well, week one, do this. Week two, do this. Week three, do this. Week four, do this. It actually lays out a plan for dealing with it.
Oh, okay.
So you don't have to think about it. It takes away the executive function of it.
Yeah.
Again, I really liked that approach because those who perhaps are not as experienced or just don't have the time to think about it, they go, what am I supposed to do this week? Oh, that's right, I need to spend 10 minutes rinsing off the leaves with dishwashing liquid and water. And then chapter six looks at the previous knowledge from the other chapters and helps to advance your indoor gardening skills. So it looks at propagation, repotting, root care, and managing plants that get too big for their spaces.
Yes, that's a hard one, isn't it?
Not that you and I have any of those.
Yes.
Well, I have yours now.
Yes.
And plant support and training as well.
Yeah, the plant support's so important because you need to do it early on.
Yes, if you leave it too late.
It is too late.
You just have to kind of chop bits off and keep going.
Right.
And then chapter seven is about growing plants you may think of as outdoor plants, but then growing them inside instead.
Yeah.
So I found it a really approachable, easy book.
Yeah.
I wanted to renew it, like I said, but someone else has already put a request in.
Oh, right.
So I had to return it, so I don't have the physical copy with me. But Nora actually has a really good YouTube channel as well called The LECA Queen. So I'm going to be watching more of her videos on
there. And where does she come from? Where does Nora come from?
You know, I wrote that down and I don't have it here. She's not New Zealand, I will tell you that. Might be Australian.
Okay.
My mistake, I did not write that down. But yes, and I got this book from the local library, obviously, but it's relatively newly released, so you'll be able to get a copy through Joe, the lovely Joe at Paper Tree, or through the local library.
Yes,
and
okay.
I'm very tempted to go get a copy myself, actually.
Yes, you probably sound like you need it, actually.
I think so.
Amy, yes, your plant garden, indoor plant garden, is quite large.
I have offloaded some of them.
Have you?
I have.
Well, I have to say, I did offload quite a few to you.
That is true.
And
I've kept the big ones. I've offloaded some of my smaller temperamental
ones,
babies.
Well, I just, we downsized. So, and that's the thing, when you downsize, you haven't got room for big plants.
No, but so, I've still got my indoor jungle.
That's good. Good to hear.
How about you, Ray? What did you read?
Something that I don't own is a greenhouse.
Mm-mm.
that I've got this lovely greenhouse book, and I thought a lot about you while this book was being looked at.
Hopefully not in a bad way.
Oh, no, no, no. I know you've got a lovely new greenhouse.
Yeah.
And the subtitle on the book is Make the Most of Your Greenhouse Throughout the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that for years and years, the Horticulture Society, every year at about May,
yeah,
we have lectures on how one sterilises one's greenhouse.
Yes.
And leave it over winter so it doesn't get any bugs and, yeah, you know. Well, this guy doesn't do anything like that. He grows all year round.
Yes.
In his greenhouse. We clean our greenhouses and get them ready for spring and leaving them to rest over winter. So I was curious how you did use them. I really was. I thought, I wonder how he manages to grow things in his greenhouse all year round, especially as he is, the author Tom Brown, he's got his own couple of greenhouses, and in the instructions, they are not piddly little greenhouses. They're sizable greenhouses. And as part of his job as a head gardener at West Dean Gardens in Sussex, he's got 13 large Victorian glasshouses to care for.
Lovely.
So he is an expert on how to manage greenhouses. He says that every inch of a greenhouse can be used for growing plants from the floor to the ceiling. Well, of course, we know you can do that.
Yes.
But, the pictures he's got in here.
I'll
cucumbers
bet.
Hanging from the roof and tomatoes dripping down.
Oh.
He must spend a lot of time doing it. So, anyway, it's broken into four sections. The first section is called Choosing and Building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and it just covers why you grow under glass.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you? And people, you know, I just love my vegetables out of the garden during summer.
Yeah.
I've never thought about trying to do it in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a potted history of greenhouses, of course, the old Victorian ones,
yes,
and way back to Roman times,
yep,
and things, the orangeries and everything,
yeah,
like that. Then he's got options for full-sized greenhouses. Then he's got freestanding ones, lean-to ones, miniatures, including cloches, etc.
Yeah.
That's all in that. You know, doesn't say you can only use big ones.
Yeah. So is this focused on glass houses in particular rather than, like, say, the poly...
I think that means... It's greenhouses, actually.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
It's greenhouses, not glasshouses.
Okay, so it sort of runs the gamut.
It does, absolutely.
From your polytunnels to your...
Absolutely, he does. And he covers building cold frames and building and putting your glasshouse together or your greenhouse together. Plus, he talks about how to make your polytunnels and how to do... what to use for cloches.
Oh, nice.
And things like that. It's really a very, very complex chapter.
Very comprehensive by the sounds of
it. Absolutely, yes. And if you wanted to start a greenhouse, I'm going to have to do a bit of serious looking because I have a little greenhouse.
Yeah.
Very small one, but I can see I should be able to get more out of it.
Yeah, because didn't you have your tomatoes in there this year?
No. Oh, Peter did. Yes, he started them off.
Yeah.
But then they got too big, so we put them out.
But at which point they would have been ready to go out.
And they were, and obviously, we'll talk about that this later. So he's got just heaps and heaps and heaps of ideas in there and lots of little tips and tasks and things like that. The second section is titled Essential Techniques, and this is a pretty important one because it's the key considerations for growing under glass. It's everything you need to know about using your greenhouse to its full extent or capacity. He talks about light.
Yeah.
He talks about water. He talks about temperature and heating in the winter.
Yeah.
Which is something I haven't had time to look up.
Mm.
What do you know anything about rules about heating glass houses? Do we have any rules in New Zealand about that?
No rules. It's just you're going to have to get power out to wherever you've
either
got that,
your... Or else he talks about little kerosene sort of burners.
Oh, no,
something.
We don't use, the ones we use for our chili peppers, for instance.
Yes.
We just use heated pads.
Do you? Yeah.
That are running from electricity.
Yeah, well, I guess in England, even southern England, they would be colder than we would be.
Absolutely, yes.
But I just wonder about how... delicate things would survive on a frosty night in Christchurch if you didn't have something.
Yeah, as long as you had some insulation. So the other thing we do is if we start early, we'll put some frost protection cloth just along the side so you don't get frosting coming through on the glass or the
polycarbonate,
and then inside, if it needs it, we will also do heated panel pads underneath some sections, and that's enough to kind of just lift the ambient heat
to
just enough.
But you need to have a power source, don't you?
Yes, you do. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we run the one at the farm from solar.
Well, so I was just thinking, you could run a little solar one, couldn't you?
Yeah, we run a little solar one.
I might have a look at that, because it'd be lovely to grow your little little vegetable-y greens and things.
And it doesn't necessarily need a lot. Like, a little bit of frost cloth goes a long way as well.
It does, yes. Yeah, I like it. Okay, well, that was just something I thought about. And I saw him, in the pictures, using these little things, and I thought, there must be some fire risk in that.
There will be. I wouldn't be surprised if it ties into whatever the fire risk is in your region, for a start.
Yes, I've thought that too.
And you certainly wouldn't want to leave them unsupervised. So leaving them overnight would be...
Yeah, unsupervised. I'm not sleeping in my greenhouse overnight, no. but a good idea for, the solar thing would be a good way of trying. Okay. So, and the ventilation, which is, of course, extremely important. And overcrowding, putting, like me, I stuff everything in, I blank things.
It's so tempting. It's so tempting.
That's right. Et cetera. He then goes into growing directly into the soil, growing in containers. And I think that is because of the mobility of them.
Yes.
You know, you can leave them out in the sunshine, put them in at night. Raised beds within your greenhouse. Now, do you have raised beds in your greenhouse?
Now, my one at home doesn't. I just put in containers or pots at home.
Yeah.
On the farm, they're all on the ground.
In the ground, with more instruction on techniques to help this process along the way, such as constructing your – he tells you how to construct a good raised bed. And I guess there's lots of other things there. But, it's a good handyman's book. If anybody wants to build it. Anything for their garden. He's got all the details there for it. Okay, the third section is titled What to Grow. Now, this is the really fun bit of it.
Yeah.
And he runs through edibles, what to grow easy for beginners, then more advanced crops to try. Herbs, salad leaves, tomatoes for beginners, and then melons, cucumbers, potatoes for more advanced crops. Yep. I thought I would have swapped tomatoes and cucumbers around there, but,
Who knows?
That's right. Then there are lots of ideas of all the edibles you can grow, from aubergines and then all the herbs and ginger and all sorts of things like that. Lots of things that re-inspire me to think. And chilies, of course, and you'd be able to write a whole book on chilies. But talking about drying them and how to
fit,
he goes right through the whole process of seeds to plants to gathering to drying and all the rest of it. And the last section is the greenhouse year, which includes a seed sowing calendar, always remembering this is Northern Hemisphere.
Yes.
So we would not be starting in January.
No.
We'd be starting probably in July.
June, July.
Yeah, that's right. And then he goes through what to look for and what to plant in early, mid, right through to next winter again, with lists of that. This book makes me wish that I had a big glass house. There are so many ideas to draw from. If you're a keen gardener and want to make the most of your greenhouse, this is for you. But if you're like me, dreaming of a large greenhouse, but quailing at the work, and I mean quailing when I look at the work, then it's a good read. It'll give you some ideas, far less energetic ones, that you can just do yourself. But it'd be something to inspire you.
Yes.
I thought it was, in fact, you'd have to have a look at it.
I'm going to snaffle it off you afterwards.
It's $45.99 at Paper Tree and Tower Junction. It was in stock. I just borrowed it off the shelf.
Yeah, and so it's a hardcover as well.
It's a hardcover, so it's a really good book. And I'm sure that you could get it to the library. It's only, I could look through and I couldn't find a publication date in it anywhere. But it looks a brand new book. Joe's only just got it in.
Yeah, I would say it's relatively new.
So it's a new book. So well worth it.
Excellent.
For anybody who's...
I'm looking at going, yes, please, I will have a look at that in the not-too-distant future. Yeah.
So that's those are two books that was worthwhile.
Mm, absolutely. So, well, should we talk about what's happening at the CHS?
Yes, well, they've got lots of things coming up, haven't they?
They do, they do. Oh, gosh, where to start? Well, we always start with Garden Life.
That's right.
We always start with Garden Life. So Garden Life is coming up in April, Tuesday the 7th, just after Easter Monday.
That's right, yes.
And Wednesday the 8th.
Yep, which is, yep.
So 6 p.m. on the Tuesday, 1 p.m. on the Wednesday. And Christina Sargent, who we've had in to talk to us before, she's the CHS Orchards and Schools
coordinator. That's right, yes. Yep.
She's going to be talking about edible weeds.
Yes.
And David Barwick is the curator
he is always a top speaker.
Yes.
He comes in with barrow loads of examples and he waves them around and tells you what you do with them. And
it's great.
He's amazing.
He is amazing. So he's going to be talking about his experience with perennials and propagation working in the Botanic Gardens. Ray just said, he loves to show examples, so fully expect to have him waving plants around.
Absolutely. He's amazing. Yes. I remember walking down the perennial border once and he was busy there and I said, David, that plant you've just pulled out, what is that? He said, it's an invasive form of Alstomera. And I said, but it's lovely. It looks like Christmas. He said, if you've got it in your garden, dig it out now. He said, it's so invasive. I haven't actually found it that invasive.
Yeah.
But I think it's got but I think it's got quite a lot of competition from other things.
Well,
as
your
well.
Garden is quite thickly planted.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's just lovely. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that'd be a fantastic night.
That's just sounding like a really good garden life.
Botots?
Yes, that continues on Mondays, 10 a.m. till 11:30 a.m. term time only. So gardening and nature themed activities for the preschoolers.
Yes, and we haven't got a list of that, have we?
No, I'm not sure what's coming up, unfortunately. But
it's always interesting.
Online. Yeah,
yes,
check online.
Always interesting.
I think they were doing something with caterpillars last time I checked.
Yes. Well, that's caterpillars are around.
Yes, they are. I walked past a swamp plant, and I swear it must have had about 30. Like really chunky,
fat,
juicy monarch butterfly caterpillars on it, which my puppy was very interested in. I'm like, no, don't eat those.
No.
You will have a very bad time.
Right, all about flowers.
Oh, yes, last Thursday of the month. So for March, that is the 26th of March.
Yeah.
So this is our sort of relaxed, welcoming group for all things flowers. Learn to grow, pick and arrange.
And paint and everything else, isn't it?
Yeah.
So all sorts of things.
All things floral, basically.
Yeah.
That is in the morning, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30.
And we're still doing the tea in my garden. Seriously, we've still got one left to do.
Hinatahi.
Friday the 10th of April.
Yep. So that's the weekend after Easter.
That's right. Gosh, so it's already nearly Easter.
I know. Then we've got Bonsai Basics, Saturday the 11th of April. This is getting you started with making your own bonsai. So it's a practical workshop.
And that's Avon, isn't it? Avon Bonsai Society.
Avon Bonsai. Mm. Botanical watercolours on the 12th. Gosh, that week in April is busy.
Very busy.
Sunday the 12th of April.
Who's doing the botanical watercolours?
You know, I didn't write the name down. It's the same lovely lady who's done it previously.
Oh, okay. I just can't think of her name. Duncan. Lady
yes.
Duncan, yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Bulbs and Containers Thursday the 30th of April. So Dave Adams is back with his usually sell-out workshop. This one, you get to basically create a bulb lasagna in a pot of all kinds of really, really interesting
And it flowers for months and
months. And months and months. So cannot recommend that one highly enough.
Margaret Watling, bubbles and blooms.
Yes, so this is our biennial Margaret Watling floral demonstration. And this is coinciding with the National Chrysanthemum Show this year. So on the 2nd and 3rd of May. Is the show, and Margaret Watling Bubbles and Blooms is on the 2nd, Saturday the 2nd at 6:30 p.m. So it's guaranteed to be a really good night.
Yeah, it's formal and fabulous dress code.
And then we've got lots more workshops on the website, so I'm not going to read through those, but we've had a couple of new ones since I last looked at it, composting and terrariums.
Composting's always popular.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yes, it is.
And the botanical embroidery.
Mm. Yes.
So goodness.
That's us for this fortnight.
Yes.
Make sure you join us again on Monday the 30th of March for one of our third Mondays in the Month sessions.
Yes, this month.
Where Ray and I get to talk about everything that's been happening in the garden, what's coming up in the coming season, what we're looking forward to.
And what are we going to do in winter with our glasshouses?
Exactly. Well, yes.
Our greenhouses. Yes. We might have had time to think about it by then.
We might have. So that's a wrap for this program. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Until then, happy gardening. Thanks for joining us for our Green Thumbs book reviews today.
All books reviewed on this show are available at Paper Tree, Tower Junction, your local library, or at other good Canterbury booksellers.
Make sure to get involved with the Canterbury Horticultural Society and check out what's coming up on Facebook and at chsgardens.co.nz.
And find past episodes at plains.org.nz and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Happy reading!